Friday morning. Look who's here. It is member for Chaffey, Tim Whetstone. On the phone, though, you're on the road this morning, Tim.
Yes, on the road. We've had a week of Parliament and pretty tough week. Anyway, heading back to the Riverland.
All right. Now, fruit fly. It's just everywhere at the moment. It's right out of control. The situation.
Yeah, look, it is. And look, I'm working with the department. We've got to have a call to arms on this in the Riverland. And unless we address this with some hard decisions, it is going to be an endemic pest. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we get rid of it. And we take the soft approach, it might not happen. So I think we're going to have to make some tough decisions sometime soon.
Now, the crews are on the ground. We're seeing them about all over Berry at the moment. Now, it's a slight chance they're going to end up in people's backyards. We've really just got to let them be.
Yeah, we do. And I think for people to understand that they're there to go into people's backyards, making sure that the hygiene around fruit and vegetable patches is there. No fruit on the ground. If there's any ripe fruit on the trees, please pick it and either eat it, preserve it or make jam or dry it. A lot of people nowadays are buying the dehydrators or they've got a couple of boards out there that they can dry their fruit. We've got to look outside the square a bit this year, and to do that just helps try and eradicate this fruit fly.
We've jumped up to a red zone, which is pretty serious stuff, Tim.
Yeah, yes, it is. Obviously the two outbreak areas, one at Berry North and also one at Pike River. A little bit of question about Pike River, but it is what it is. The talk is that they traced it back to Pike River, but where the fruit was packed was in a fruit fly area in Renmark. And so I think we need to just question that one a little bit so that if it is the packing house that picked up the larvae, potentially it won't hamstring the Pike River community, because it's going to cost money. And at the end of the day, the growers are the people that pay. It's looking ominous that fruit fly is a real pest. It's going to cost us a lot of money. And we've got to make sure that it doesn't cost us our reputation of being fruit fly free.
So how do we identify the workers? I think it's orange overalls. They've got proper ID and everything, and just no resistance. Just let them do their thing. We've got to get on top of this.
That's right. And, I think people should be compelled to let them go into the backyard, do the hygiene tests, and let them go about their work.
All right. The quarantine facility. This is big news this week as well. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say it's exciting, but it is very good news for our community because we need to get our fruit picked, we need to get it packed, and we need to get it to market. And to have the Pacific Islander quarantine facility at Paringa, I think is a real coup. I would also like to just give a commitment to the Riverland and to the Paringa community at large that there will be absolute process involved here, making sure that the facility is secure, all the protocols in place, so that there is no risk to anyone in the Riverland. I think there are about 2,000 Pacific Islanders in Australia. There's not been one positive COVID-19 test. We want to make sure that we get these people into Adelaide Airport, get them checked, get them swabbed, get them on a bus, get them up, get them into quarantine so that they can get out and pick fruit.
Okay, you caught up with Howard Hendrick too. He's got his book, which apparently is just a fantastic read.
Yeah, look, Howard he's a Riverland legend. He's actually more than that, but, he is just a great ambassador for what a returned serviceman, and he's told a great story to his daughter, and Margaret's written the book. She said she probably could have written six books with the stories that he's told and the information that he's given her. But, A Full Circle is the name of the book. And I've started reading it, but I'll get to it at the end. But I must say, it's he is just a legend. He's got a great story to tell, and I've now put it into a book. So I reckon, you know, Riverlanders should think about either buying a book or finding someone that's got a copy and read it, and talk about it, because, you know, he's very, very proud of his wartime stories, but he's also more proud that he's a son of a returned serviceman, a blocker, fought in the war, 30 successful missions with the same crew, came home and back to the soldier settlement property, and today he's just living the dream, 97 years old, and still got a great story to tell.
Yep, there's just, and so many others out there that are yet to be told, that I just wish we could all get them into books, like what's happened here with Howard's story, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, Tim Whetstone, member for Chaffey, you drive safe. I look forward to catching up with you in person, and we'll do that soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Anthony.